In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today on this Wednesday. And you know what that means, Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which happens to be Respect Life Sunday. So all about pro-life this weekend. And of course, would love to hear from you to get your thoughts on how we can continue to build a culture of life. Maybe you want to share a story with us about how you support the culture of life. Supporting an elderly parent. Maybe dealing with a difficult birth or pregnancy or anything. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call on this Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And so we're done with the tour now, the speaking tour, the Speak Lord, Your Servant is Listening 2025. Perusia Media Tour of the United States. This is our third year in a row. We stayed in the state of Texas the entire time, and we had a great time. Last night we finished up in Orange, Texas, St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Community, and with the amount of people that came, that put us over 1,000 people that came to see this tour in the state of Texas during the past week. So we're incredibly, incredibly grateful. I just want to thank again the pastors and the coordinators and the people that came. You know, lots of EW10 folks. I was just so glad, you know, to meet folks who love and support Mother Angelica and EWTN and who listen to the show on the Guadalupe Radio Network in Texas. So thank you guys so much. Again, St. Francis Catholic Church in Grapevine, St. Andrew Catholic Church in Fort Worth, St. Mary of the Visitation Catholic Church in Lockhart, Notre Dame Catholic Church in Kerrville, St. Matthew's Catholic Church in San Antonio, my very good friends Alfredo and Susan Navarez, who set up something there in Buda, St. Helen Catholic Church in Pearland, and St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Orange. Thanks to each and every one of you for making this and the guys that told me this, probably they think it's the best tour yet. They love Texas. They love the food. They loved how big everything is. And we were, you know, just driving around, seeing the landscape and seeing what Texas has to offer. It was a beautiful experience. So we hope to do this again next year. We got to look at our calendars, and we're going to actually meet tonight. We're going to have a dinner and sit down and kind of debrief and figure out what we're going to do for next year and where do we want to go. So if you have any ideas, let me know. Would love to hear from you. Maybe come in your area next year. We had just a tremendous, tremendous feedback on the tour this year. So again, thank you, everyone that made this possible. And I am flying to Denver, Colorado. I'm speaking at a Catholic Marian, Denver Marian Conference. That's going to be October 3rd and 4th, so Friday and Saturday. I'll be speaking with Father Chris Alar and Father Bill Casey, Father Wade Meneses' confrere. And I've spoken with both of them before, and I love those guys. And so we're going to have a great time. So again, this event is going to be at the Colorado Convention Center. This weekend it's going to be Friday evening and all day Saturday. So they go to the website denvermarianconference.com and get all the information to come and join us. Would love to have you there. Who I would love to be here with me right now on this tour are people who unfortunately cannot be because they're busy helping to put this show together. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media, Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls, and of course the one and only my partner in, well, not crime, But partner in appreciation and love of music. Ace McKay. Ace, how goes it today?
Good.
Love your hat.
Thank you, sir. You can just call me a bandmate. I mean, this is brothers in a band.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
My brother in the band.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're in the process. We're back in the studio tomorrow night. My wife finally is done with her show that she's been directing for the last few weeks. So we're back in working on, actually, you might appreciate this, kind of like an ominous bluegrass album. Like it's the only way I can really describe it for it to not, because if you throw the word bluegrass around, people immediately, like your head just goes to a certain sound, and it's not that at all. So these are songs that my wife and I are writing together or have written together. So I'm very excited to, because the cool thing about this is that while there's a lot of instrumentation, the harmonies are all done in the vocal booth simultaneously. And it's like it's the most spiritual experience I can explain when it comes to just recording a song.
Yeah. And so who's doing the harmonies? So your wife, obviously.
So she's doing lead, and then we have three other backup singers that are just friends of ours that are in other bands, and then we just kind of correlate together. And they've sung together doing shows and theater and things like that on stage. So they already know how each other sounds. So what's cool is when you start writing in that vein, you're like, oh, yeah, I could hear so-and-so doing this part and going up and this person going down. And so it's especially with my wife being the center of the lead, she knows what voices she likes to sing with. And so I found that if I get her excited about something, then it's so much easier for me to just get in there and just do it because it just comes together the way that we hear it in our heads.
Yeah, you're saying you're recording the vocals in the booth simultaneously. So I was like, oh, there's got to be other people in there. Because sometimes, you know, you have a solo artist who sing different parts and layer it.
Yeah.
You know, in the studio, just singing different, singing an octave or a third or a fifth, you know, of the chord. But that's awesome. That's so awesome. Recording all together. That's great.
Well,
has she done recordings with this group before, this setup?
Yeah, so what's interesting is, and again, this comes from me being a musician who's studio stage, my wife being stage specifically. So she, first of all, had to get into a headspace of being used to hearing her voice over and over and over again, and then being okay with releasing it, you know, because like when you do a show, you know, it's, you're out there, and if you don't like how you did, then you do it better the next time, right? And so for her, there was that, which I think we all kind of, you know, it's like even like, you know, radio, like the same thing. You have to get used to the sound of your own voice, you know, and I think a lot of times people just like, I just don't like how I sound, you know? And so she had to get used to the recording side of it. But that's what makes this process when there's multiple voices, because to her in the studio feels like a performance. Yes, we're recording it. Yes, others will hear it over and over and over again. But if I'm in there with my friends, if I'm in there with people who I respect talent-wise, then it doesn't feel like as much work. And it feels more like a theater kind of presentation.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking as you were sharing your reflection there, you know, I was thinking about praying the rosary, you know, it's like you hear this rhythm over and over again, kind of that same rhythm. And,
yeah.
And I get that when your wife says, you know, you don't like hearing yourself, or you have to get used to hearing your own voice because you're so critical of yourself, right?
Yeah.
But when you're praying the rosary, one thing I do, I get lost in it. It's almost like my voice becomes like background noise because I'm focusing on the mystery, you know, and the beads are helping. So I don't have to worry about which number am I? Am I 7? Am I on 8? You know, it just let the beads. And when I get to the end, you know, you feel that space. Oh, okay, time to transition to the next thing.
Yeah.
And it's very musical, very rhythmic, you know, when you pray the Psalms that way. And we just, you're so, and I've been praying them for so long, like every day, you know, especially when I go on my walks. So when you get to that rhythm, you get to that flow, and it just like, yeah, you get lost, and then that 10 went by real fast. That decade, you know, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful rhythm.
Yeah, and actually, a conversation that you and I believe had on the air, if not maybe off as well, of people who say, well, you know, I pray at night, but then I fall asleep, and then I feel bad because I fell asleep praying, you know. And I had that conversation with my dad, who is 90. And he's like, you know, I was like, first of all, Dad, you're 90. It's okay if you want to take a nap. I said, secondly, if you're at a peace where as you're talking to God that you just drift off, that to me, that's one of the most peaceful places you could spend your time in order to be able to get into that place just before you are either asleep for the night or you're laying down for the afternoon. And he's like, yeah, I never really thought of it that way. So I like, as we've had discussions on that kind of, you know, mindset that a lot of times can be seen as a negative, it's actually good for us.
Yeah, and today is the feast day of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who's a doctor of the church, and the little flower. And, you know, she had a wonderful thing in her autobiography about falling asleep during adoration.
It happens.
She's like kind of beat herself up. But no, but that's okay. You rest in the Lord, and there's a beautiful peace there.
That's right.
Love that. Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, breaking over God's word for Respect Life Sunday. Would love to hear from you on how you help to build and maintain a culture of life. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10, 833-288-3986. Oh, yeah. That is so cool.
We don't celebrate the 12 string enough.
Yes. Yeah. Stairway to Heaven, Over the Hills and Far Away. Some of the great songs on the 12 string. Oh, very nice. 39 by Queen.
Yeah.
It's on 12 string. What is it? In fact, they still play it now. I think they have a when Queen plays that. It's a part of the time where Brian May just has some time by himself with his 12-string in the crowd, and
yeah,
like they have a video of Freddie in the background, and they're like kind of doing a duet. You know, that's pretty cool. Love of My Life. You know, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, they actually have guitar picks now that can make your 6-string sound like a 12-string without.
Oh, that's cheating.
Cars are Shortcut. Expensive, man.
Yeah, that's true. And they're trying to string those things. Ooh, ouch.
Right?
You know, yikes. Yeah. One thing maybe that shortcut would work.
One of six is one thing, but you start breaking one of 12, two of 12, you're like, all right, never mind.
Exactly.
Where's my pick?
I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sarah's listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which is Respect Life Sunday this Sunday, and would love to hear from you. How are you helping to build and maintain a culture of life? Maybe you want to share a story about a difficult pregnancy and you were told to, you know, maybe end the pregnancy and you didn't, and you now you have some amazing children because of that. Maybe you're helping support an elderly parent that the culture is saying, you know, they lived their life already. Let's just euthanize them or something like that. No, that's not who we are. So let's talk about that today. Would love to hear from you. How do we help to build and maintain a culture of life? 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as you continue your collection of ebooks, great thing is they're free. So your collection continues to grow as we learn how to pray with St. Joseph. Easy to find when you go to EWTN.com/St. Joseph and get yours today.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every Mass and that we pray in the Liturgy of the Hours of the Divine Office. If you prayed it today, then you know you prayed some beautiful Psalms today. 39 was, if you prayed Office of Readings, wonderful Psalm attributed to one of the three Psalms of Jeduthun. 39, 62, and 77. Interesting, all those Psalms are being prayed today. You know, it's spread out over the three offices for today, which is very interesting. But today, we're going to look, continue our look at Psalm 40. So we know Psalm 40 is in Book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 to 41. All of those are attributed to David. The prescript, the superscript of Psalm 40 simply says, Lemenzeach HaDavid Mizmor. For the choir master of David, a psalm, right? And I love Davidic psalms. I love the way David just comes out swinging sometimes with his psalms, like this one. I waited I waited for the Lord, and he stooped down to me. He heard my cry. You know, I love that, the patience that we all have to have sometimes when we're, you know, we're praying, waiting for God to do something in our life. And, you know, God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. Sometimes, just like David, we have to be patient and wait on God. But see, while he's waiting, David never loses trust in the Lord. He's confident that God will come to his aid. When again, sometimes God, you know, allows us to suffer. He doesn't want us, but he allows that suffering to happen in order either to build character or for us to learn a lesson, or in order for us to be more patient, and maybe to not focus on ourselves and focus on the needs of others, to be more selfless. You know, all kinds of things that God could be doing there. And David has that confidence. But today we're going to pick up at verse 15. This psalm is about, 18 or so verses long. And so, verse 15 starts, and the cola starts in verse 14. Let's go there. Be pleased, O Lord, to rescue me. Lord, make haste to help me. And we see David repeating that same verse, Lord, make haste to help me. You see that in Psalm 70. In fact, Psalm 70 starts off, O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. You know, I think Psalm in 51 or something, there's other places where David has this phrase where, God, come now. You know, make haste to help me. Come to my aid. You know, don't let me suffer for too long. I know that sometimes your will involves suffering, but, you know, Lord, you know, come, make haste, come now. You know, I just love the humanness of David, you know, entering into that space, asking God for help. Oh, and verse 15, oh, let there be shame and confusion on those who seek my life. Right? So an interesting little reflection here. So he says, let there be shame and confusion on those who seek my life. Right? So, obviously, I think David might have written this song during the persecution from Saul, you know, 1 Samuel 17 to about chapter 26, 27, somewhere in there. So he's, you know, let there be shame and confusion on those who seek my life. So those who are pursuing him, trying to take his life, he said, let there be shame and confusion. But I would argue this, because today we're talking about the Respect Life Sunday. I would say those who are pursuing us, check this out, a little bit of a double negative here. So I would say that those who are pursuing a culture of death right now, they are the ones who are confused, right? So they're the ones that are confused because they don't fully understand what it means to be in a culture of life, what it means to participate in a culture, what that even means, you know. So when we pray, let there be shame and confusion on those who seek my life, I would say, let there be shame and confusion on those who are shamed and confused. You see? So when you have the double negative, what are you really saying? Let them be enlightened. So those who are already shamed and confused, because they don't understand the natural moral law, they don't understand covenant relationship, they don't understand what it means to be in a relationship of loving and life-giving communion with the living God. They might not even know God, or they're angry, or whatever the case may be. Let shame and confusion come upon them. So the shame and confusion comes from what? The enlightenment of understanding. You know, let them come to an understanding and appreciation of what it means to have a culture of life. And I'm not talking about politics. You know, I stay far away from that. This has nothing to do with politics. This is an issue of life and death and respect for the dignity of the human person that has become politicized. Right? Because, David's talking about, and all the Psalms, all the scriptures talk about a culture of life here. So that's what I would say when I look at Psalm, verse 15 there. And he continues with a parallelism. Oh, let them turn back in confusion who delight in my harm. Right? So, sometimes in the Psalms you'll have a statement that's made in one cola or one verse, and then you'll have kind of a repeated kind of theme in the next verse that kind of says the same thing, just kind of in a different way. That's called the parallelism there. So David does that here. Again, when he repeats it, he's saying, you know, he really wants it to happen. You know, Lord, let this happen. So he repeats it. Then he says, let them be appalled because of their shame, those who jeer and mock me. So we have kind of a triplet here, you know. So, and what happens when they, if the Jewish people want to say something important, because in these Semitic languages, there are no superlatives like, you know, the greatest, the best, the most. And so one of the things that they did if they wanted to emphasize something important was to say it three times, right? So if you look at this, we have kind of a parallelism or an enjambment. That's technical language for the Psalms here. But so he says, let there be shame and confusion on those who seek my life. Let them turn back in confusion who delight my harm. Let them be appalled because of their shame, those who jeer and mock me. Again, kind of saying the same thing in three different ways. Why? Because it's really, really important to David. Now, look at this. Very interesting. He's not saying crush and destroy them. Now, he does say that in other Psalms, right? Because, I mean, David's emotional. He's a human being. He wants God to exact justice. But here, he's about shame and confusion on those who seek my life. So, again, if we turn that around, I think what we should be praying for the conversion and for the enlightenment of those, not necessarily that don't agree with us, but really come to understand what it means to that a child and woman is a person made in God's image and likeness from the moment of conception until natural death. You know, that people have value no matter what their state in life, no matter what condition they may be born into, that every single person is loved intimately and personally by God. And since the two greatest commandments, as articulated by our Lord Jesus Christ, is love God and love your neighbor as yourself, then every single one of us need to treat our neighbor with the love and the light of God.
And I like that, the idea of saying things three times, because I am a firm, like I Tawny can attest to this, my wife, that I often, you know, we say, oh man, that burger's awesome. And then we also say, oh man, God is awesome. And we say it once, and it still means two different things, obviously. But, I mean, to say it in a way that brings it new meaning, brings it depth, you know, it's not the new it's the new emphasis, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we do that too, right? You know, I love how, in fact, you talk bite into a burger and we say, oh, God, that's good. You know, like, mm-hmm. Right? And what are you doing there? You're acknowledging the fact that you're experiencing this moment of pleasure, and even your something as simple as that, you're attributing it to God.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not necessarily a prayer, but it's just a recognition that even something, the very simple things in life, the simple pleasures in life, the simple things that we can come to appreciate and sometimes even take for granted,
sure,
that even those things we can just elevate and lift that up to God.
Amen. I love that.
I love that. All right. And so we're going to verse 17. So it says, oh, let there be. Now we see what's called the antithetical parallelism, where David kind of changes the tone here. Oh, let there be rejoicing and gladness for all who seek you. Now we have the antithesis. He said, let there be shame and confusion on those who seek my life. But for us, Lord, let there be rejoicing and gladness for all who seek you. So again, the shame and confusion on those who are shamed and confused about the culture of life, then they will come to a point of rejoicing and gladness, because now they're seeking the Lord and they're seeking his truth. Not a political ideology, you know, but they're seeking truth, who is Jesus Christ, John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. All right, love it. Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking on God's Word open for Respect Life Sunday. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. 833-288-3986. All right. Little Latin feel, a little salsa feel going on there.
Most cultured show you're going to find on the radio right here today.
Yeah. I hear like a little bit of the drums in the background, a little shitly, the timpani kind of thing. Yeah, the shaker. Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, we need a little more of this, like with the classical, you know, a little splash of flavor. In these, that's pretty cool.
Flavor.
Oh, that's good. You know, we gotta have some Caribbean stuff on here.
Yeah.
This is right, but a little bit further south.
Sure.
You know, maybe get some calypso kind of thing or something going on there with the pans. You know, the tin pans and stuff like that. You know, that'd be awesome.
We can make it happen.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Yes. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sibbers listening to Beacon of Truth. And it's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which also happened to be Respect Life Sunday. And would love to hear from you. How are you helping to build a culture of life? Maybe you want to share a story with us about a difficult pregnancy that maybe you were told to end and you continued and now you have a beautiful child as a result. Maybe you're taking care of an elderly parent that the culture says, they're a burden on society, a burden on the healthcare system. Let's just end it, you know. But we're standing firm for a culture of life. How are you helping to build and maintain a culture of life in this very difficult culture today? Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, we want to say congratulations to one of our longtime EWTN partners celebrating 8 years on the air, Donna and the team at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Radio, doing their job, of course, as a part of the Essex Junction in Vermont. So WRXJ, I love those call letters, 105.5. Thanks for those who are supporting that radio ministry and to another 500 more years. Thank you so much. And again, congratulations to Donna and the team from EWTN Radio.
All right, Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which also happened to be Respect Life Sunday. Would love to hear from you. How are you helping to build and maintain a culture of life in your own life? Again, maybe you want to share an experience of how you've done that. Maybe praying outside of an abortion mill, or maybe going through a difficult pregnancy. And then being told to terminate, but persevering to the end, maybe taking care of an elderly parent or a disabled child. You know, how you happen to build a culture of life. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ron is calling from Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Ron, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Yeah, hi, guys. Dick and Harold, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear from you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I had a little story about my family. I was a pastor, a Baptist pastor, for several years, and we had four beautiful daughters. Our oldest daughter, unfortunately, was killed in a car accident, and it really shook the family up. You know, sometimes tragedy will bring you together, and sometimes it will split you up. Well, it split us up. My wife was just beside herself. She left the family, got involved in some things, and ended up getting pregnant. And as time went by, she found out she had cancer. And they told her she would need to abort the baby for her to survive. And Betty just would not do it. She had such a respect for life that she just could not do it. So all that time, that 9 months of Joseph, being in the womb, it just brought the cancer on, and it was just terrible. But she gave birth to a 1-pound baby boy, and now he's 240-pound, 6'4", 6'4" man. And it was just incredible. It was a difficult time, but in fact, all that, you know, brought me to the Catholic Church. Believe it or not, I was working on a book, and one of the things was studying Catholicism, and I could not disprove everything I wanted to disprove, and so I became a Catholic. Anyway, getting to life. Life is so important. I wouldn't have Joseph. Of course, Betty passed away from the cancer, but I wouldn't have had Joseph. He calls me Grandpa. So it's kind of a sweet, bittersweet situation.
Wow. Oh, Ron, what a powerful story. You know, and this speaks a lot about you. You know, as a man, your wife, obviously, you know, family broke up over the tragic death of your daughter. And please know we're going to pray for the repose of her soul, your daughter, and your wife as well. May they both rest in peace. We'll say Hail Mary for them for sure. But the fact that you're not the father of that, but you treat him as if he calls you Grandpa. That's beautiful. So many men, sadly, who don't know God would say, well, that's not my kid. You know, my wife had an affair with it, and just walk away from it, have nothing to do with it. But no, I mean, you're one of, there's a woman in my parish that's very much the same way. Ex-husband, and when he was sick and ill, she took care of him. Like, they were still married. And they were divorced for a long time, but she cared for him. In fact, she was there the moment that he passed. And her first call was to me, you know, and because father was gone. So I went over there to the home to be with them and to do the prayers of the dead and things I could do as a deacon, you know, but just to see that whatever they went through, that Christ's call to love was more powerful than anything else they went through. And it's the same with you, Ron, and just, man, what a beautiful, beautiful story, and what a wonderful way to start. And welcome to the Catholic Church, Ron. So, see, we need more people like you here. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. You are a witness and example of what it means to stand firm and true in a culture of life. So thank you for that absolutely beautiful call, Ron. And please remember praying for your daughter, for the repose of her soul, and for your wife as well. 833-288-EWTN. We're breaking open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday for Respect Life Sunday. How are you helping to build a culture of life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Joel is calling from Odessa, Texas, a place that sadly we didn't get to go on this tour, and listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Joel, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you so much, Deacon. Thank you. One quick thing. I saw you when you came over with Jim Caviezel here in Midland, and I just loved it, the group of guys that we're with, and we listen to your show as much as we can. But what I wanted to say what I was telling your screener was my wife and I had been married for 20 years, and during those 20 years, of course, we wanted to have children, and my wife was not able to have children, and doctor after doctor after doctor kept telling us, you guys just need to give up and just, you know, go and adopt. But our priest from our St. Joseph's here in Odessa says, you know, don't adopt. Just go ahead and keep your faith, stay your faith in God, and keep praying, and He will answer. So 20 years later after that, we were surprised with the pregnancy of a baby, and she was born in 2006. She's 19 years old today.
Oh, beautiful. Her birthday's today?
No. Her birthday.
Oh, you mean she's 19 year old today? Like as of, okay. I think today was her birthday. That would have been awesome.
So, you know, and the thing is, you know, what we learned during the whole time is just put your faith in God and not in man, you know. Yes, God has His healers, but as a matter of fact, during that pregnancy, it was a high-risk pregnancy, and the doctor that was seeing us, he says, you know, chances are that she's going to be Down syndrome, and we want to run some tests, and risk of those tests are that, you know, she'll end up getting Down syndrome. So we prayed about it, and then we said, no, just leave her alone. This is God's working. You know, we're going to keep our faith in God and just let Him do what He's doing and let the pregnancy ride out the way it was meant to be and just leave her alone. And so sure enough, when she was born, she was beautiful, healthy, baby that we were blessed with. And I had, during that time, I had made a promise to God. I said, Lord, I said, give us this healthy baby, and I will bring her back to you. I will give her back to you. I know that she's just, you know, a child that you just lended me, and I will give her back to you, you know. And when she was born, I took her to the church, and I put her in front of the Blessed Mother, and from that day on, we've been going to church every Sunday and every obligation day, and she sings in the choir, and she helps with the catechism. So very beautiful, very, very blessed, very blessed.
Oh, thank you for that. Was such a wonderful call. I love that. And you know, you did something very beautiful. You said, "We'll give her back to you." I love that. We see in the scriptures. We see that with Samson's mother, who thought that they couldn't have a child, that she couldn't get pregnant. She got pregnant with Samson, and then she dedicated him to the Lord in a Nazarite vow. We see that with Hannah. Right. In the Song of Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, that beautiful kind of almost like a precursor to the Magnificat when she becomes pregnant with Samuel. Even Joachim and Anne, the parents of Mary, who thought that they were going to be barren. You know, when they had the Blessed Virgin Mother, they consecrated her to the Lord and gave her as a temple virgin. You know, Zechariah. And Elizabeth with John the Baptist, he says over and over again, dedicating their children to the Lord. And even myself, my mom had about 5 miscarriages before she had me. And when she was in the hospital, she said a prayer to God, if you let this one live, Lord, you can have him, is what she said. Thinking, you know, I become a monk and a priest. But instead, you know, I've become a speaker and evangelist and host on EW10 and all the wonderful things that God has me doing. And my mother was just so incredibly grateful to God, and as am I, you know, for the gift of life. So thank you for sharing that beautiful story with us. And this is why we do the show, for calls like that, like that we just had. Beautiful. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth, breaking open God's word for Respect Life Sunday, which is this Sunday. Would love to hear how you are helping to build and maintain a culture of life in your own life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Chris is calling from Decatur, Georgia, listening on The Quest. Chris, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey there. Good to hear your voice. It's my whole neighborhood is all about preservation of life. You know, we're taking care of our my wife's 94-year-old mother, and then from all the other neighbors you hear about how long they took care of their mother. You know, they had them in the house, and so the whole neighborhood is like that. And when it happens to you, you become part of that network of, yeah, we did the same thing, and it's a good thing. And then it's a good neighborhood to live in. We've got great neighbors, and there's also the there's an abortion clinic not too far. It's 1924 Cliff Valley Way in Atlanta. And we go out there. They're open on Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And it's usually, they start about 7:30 with the abortions and straight through to about 11 o'clock. But anybody can go out there. We're looking for more people to help. Kathy Schneider's got the 40 Days for Life going, and you get a hold of her, and everybody goes out there and prays and tries to be the Lord's hands.
Yes, amen. We all have to do our part to stand up for those who cannot defend themselves, whether they're children, human being made in God's image and likeness in the womb, or whether they're elderly, or whether they have some kind of birth defect or disabled in some kind of way. All deserve the love and respect as human beings. So each of us in our own way can do that, you know. And so love the work that 40 Days for Life and that you're doing, Chris, out there. Being a public witness, because sometimes that's difficult. You know, sometimes people, they're ashamed to stand out there. You know, but that public witness is important. So people, it raises awareness, and people are aware that, you know, this issue is important, that there are people that are willing to stand up, again, for those who cannot speak for themselves, cannot defend themselves, and we have to be that voice in their life. Beautiful call. All right, Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which is also Respect Life Sunday. This Sunday, would love to hear from you. How are you helping to build and maintain a culture of life in your own life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Fran is calling from Seattle, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Fran, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon Harold. I'm so thankful for you taking my call today.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm 62, and when I was 18, I made the tragic decision, found myself pregnant, and was not living the life that God called me to, and made the just very unfortunate decision, tragic decision, to end the life of that child through an abortion. And I carried the guilt from that decision for many years. And it wasn't until I went through the beautiful healing ministry of Project Rachel that I found healing and acceptance. I knew God forgave me, but I couldn't forgive myself. And so what I'm able to do now is share with women who have made that same decision that God will, in fact, forgive any sin that you commit, even the sin of abortion, as tragic it is, as it is, and he will transform your life. And what I've seen happen in so many cases is women then find, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, to share their stories, which is so powerful.
Yes, absolutely agree. Project Rachel, an amazing ministry, a powerful ministry of healing, a powerful ministry, quite frankly, of divine mercy. You know, you look at that beautiful divine mercy image, the rays are coming out from the heart of Jesus and into the world. And by sharing your stories, and I could not agree with you more, Fran. Sharing our experiences and stories, as painful as they are, I think could also be part of the healing process. But it also, when you share your story, those rays of mercy are coming out that allow you to be a vehicle of mercy in the life of someone else. And one thing I would throw in, as far as feeling, because you nailed it, Fran. Sometimes, you know, the hardest person to forgive when we sin, and when we sin seriously, the hardest person to forgive is yourself. So one of the things I would recommend is go to a general confession, which means that you go into that confessional, you confess all the sins of your entire life. You say, well, wait a minute, Deacon, why would I do that? I've already said the sin. I know the sin's forgiven. And you're correct. You know, you walk into that confessional dead. You walk out alive, a new creation in the risen Christ. Amen. You get the sanctifying grace restored in your soul. And in fact, Ezekiel chapter 18 says that God forgets the sin. Amen. That's all true. But when you confess all the sins, you realize that the prodigal son, he was in the pig pen. And when he made that decision, the metanoia, to turn around, he said, I've sinned against you, Father, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, which enabled him to make those courageous steps back to the Father. So a general confession, in a sense, is a moment of catharsis where you realize that, wait a minute, I don't do that sin anymore. No, wait a minute, I don't do that sin nearly as much anymore. And we take another step and another step. And you'll realize that you're actually closer to God than where you thought you were. You know, and that one little thing, just like, and what happens in that moment when you make those courageous steps? Remember the prodigal son? The father ran to his child. The father ran to his son and he embraced him. And that's what God wants you to do. When you make those courageous steps back to him, he will run to you with his love, with his mercy, and with his truth. A beautiful call. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's word for the readings for this Sunday, which is Respect Life Sunday. Would love to hear from you. How are you helping to build a culture of life in your own life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Virginia is calling from Central Kansas, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Virginia, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Yes, thank you. Yes, my husband and I have been married 51 years. We're in Central Kansas when we farm. We've had 9 children, and they're all grown, and I have grandchildren. But the point is, on my 8th child, I was 40. And when I went to the doctor said, oh, you're 40. you may have a high chance of having a Down syndrome baby. If you want an abortion, you need to have it done in the next 3 weeks. So it scared me to death. Went home, talked to my husband. We prayed about it. We knew we could not abort the baby no matter what. I started looking at information on how to take care of a Down's baby. And I was all prepared. I changed doctors. When the baby was born, perfect, perfect baby. Nothing wrong with him. And it was our second son. And like I said before, we farm. He is the only one of the 9 children that want to farm. And he is now drilling wheat for us while I move bales of hay. And it's just wonderful. God has just given us such a great gift with all of our children, and especially with this one. And I want people to know, if you're over 40, you can still have a perfectly healthy baby. And if perchance it doesn't happen that way, there are ways to help you get along and raise a Down syndrome baby if you need to.
Yes, beautiful. And what a powerful witness to a culture of life. You know what? And doctors can be wrong. You know, they just can be wrong. Just because they're doctors and they're experts and authorities in their field doesn't mean they always get it right. Now, I think it was important. He said there was a chance that you could have a Down syndrome baby, and you prepare for that. And thanks be to God, you and your husband made the decision to stand for life. And you know, your child is strong and healthy. But even if they were Down syndrome, that's a beautiful child. I mean, I had an amazing experience up in Crookston, Minnesota. I'll never forget this. It must have been now going on 8 years or 9 years ago. I spoke at a youth event up in Crookston, Minnesota, like right near the Canadian border. And I sat down with a Down syndrome kid who just wanted to meet me. Man, we talked theology. And this kid like knew his stuff. I was like, what? And we were going back and forth. It was awesome. And I still remember that to this day. I was so incredibly impressed with that young man. And, you know, and I didn't even, and his parents were like, came up to me and said, you didn't treat him like he was Down syndrome. I said, why should I? I mean, how are you supposed to treat him? You treat all people the same. Doesn't matter if we have Down syndrome or not, but we were having just a great discussion. And that's what I focused on. I didn't focus on the fact it was Down syndrome. So what? We had a great discussion. We got to know each other. That was the beautiful thing. You know, and it's experiences like that is why we stand strong and firm as Catholics for a culture of life. Awesome call. Thank you so much, Virginia. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for Respect Life Sunday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Cynthia from Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network, is with us. Cynthia, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you so much. I just wanted to call in and comment on this man that called a while ago. I believe his name was Ron. Mm-hmm. And he lost a daughter.
And his wife
mm-hmm. left and ended up having that baby that he took under his wing. Oh, my gosh, I just don't have enough words to say what a beautiful man of God Ron was, because, you know, God took his daughter, yes, but he gave him back another life, a different life, but another life. God always does that. And he was just, when I heard him talking, I thought, oh, my gosh, I just wanted him to know he is a true model of Saint Joseph. By taking this baby under his wing and now calls him Grandpa. Mm. And he didn't even need a dream. He didn't even need to have a dream to do this, you know, like Joseph did, Saint Joseph did. He just did it. And I know it's all because of love. Love made him do that. And I know that he has forgiven his wife, or else he wouldn't have taken this baby. And I know his wife, in God's own way, I know she carried her cross here on earth with her cancer, and I know she's forgiven. We all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I just wish him the best, and I just want to say I love you, mister, wherever you are, Ron. This is Cynthia in Texas, and, you know, we have big hearts here in Texas, and we love And just God bless you. God bless you a thousandfold. And I know you're going to enjoy this little young man or big man now. He may take care of you in your old age. Who knows?
Yeah, that's so awesome. And, yeah, Julia in Washington, not able to get to you. She's listening on the EWTN app, not able to get to your call today. She talked about contraception and, you know, and how they were open to a culture of life. But maybe next time. But thank you so much for calling, Julia. All right, my friends, until we are together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.